Have y'all ever been to Knott's Berry Farm? Any Knott's Berry Farm people? Okay, so you know if you walk around like the backside past the water park, you know, like there's like that big pond that wraps around. Anyone know where that's at? Y'all remember? Okay. Yeah, the parking lot on the backside.
Yeah.
So if you walk like past the water park and you keep going around, there's like that big pond that loops. So a few years ago, I was walking by there with my mother-in-law and kids, and there's like this little like sitting area next to the pond, and I saw this lady that was sitting there, and I just felt like, oh, I'm supposed to just go ask her if she wants prayer. So I walked up to her and I said, hey, we're just walking through, and like, and I pray for people, and like Jesus heals their bodies or answers prayer. Would you like prayer for anything? And she said, yeah. She said, I want prayer for my back. So she went on to tell me this story that she had gotten injured on a job. And she hadn't been working, I think, for several years because of her back injury. And she said she was in severe pain. So I said, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah. So we just prayed a simple prayer in the name of Jesus. And then I had her stand up and I said, can you do anything you couldn't do before to test it out? And so she did this. She literally bent down and touched the ground and she came up and she's just weeping. And I say, when's the last time you've done that? She says, it's been a few years. And it was crazy. Like, I literally was just walking through with my kids. I got a Knott's Berry Farm. There was someone there. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm supposed to ask this person if they want prayer. And then I just pray a simple prayer, and Jesus healed her right there. Could you imagine if I just would have kept walking by? Like, she would have just stayed in that state of that brokenness from her injury at work. And who else? Like, who knows what is, who would stop by in her journey, but I just felt like Jesus said, ask her. And Jesus showed up for her. And so Jesus loves to heal people. He's pretty awesome. And so this sets us in our context as a church. We're talking about healing and deliverance. So Jesus wants to heal the whole person. Spirit, soul, body, sexuality, relationships, finances. He wants to set a person's whole life in order according to how he's designed it. And if we do it his way, we get his results. But y'all know we've all done our own thing along the way, right? We've kind of tried to figure out ourselves and do what we want to do, and then we get our results from it. But if we want Jesus's results, if we read the scriptures and do what he says, we'll get his results in our lives. So let's look at verses 40 through 42 of Luke chapter 8. It says, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of a local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. So for those that went camping, we had done a Discovery Bible study on the other side of the lake where Jesus just came from. And there was this dude with 2,000 demons in him. It said his name was Legion, which means 2,000 in that Roman time. So this dude was, you know, just crazy wrecked out with all types of stuff. Jesus heals this guy, to the point where after he heals him, he's literally sitting at Jesus' feet with his clothes back on in his right mind, right? So he's totally transformed. So Jesus goes from that, going across the lake, and there's this dad. So how many of y'all are dads here or want to be dads in the future, right? Like, when your kid is sick, like, you'll go to almost any extent to do what you need to do to get them well. So you got Jairus here. His daughter's 12 years old. And she's on the brink of death. Like, he knows, like, she has, like, the death look in her body, in her face. I got to find this Jesus guy. I've heard about him. I heard he can do things. And if I can get Jesus before she dies, he can heal her. So this is what's going through his head. And did you notice that he had to come to the end of himself? Like, to go get Jesus' help. So he had to come to the end of himself, of everything that he could do, and he went to his last ditch effort, which was Jesus, because his daughter's about to die, so I need to get Jesus here to solve the problem. And did you notice what Jairus does when he comes up? He had to believe Jesus could do something first, so otherwise he wouldn't have went to Jesus. So Jesus can do something, so he believed, and then he goes to Jesus. He actually had to take action to go to Jesus physically, and he falls at Jesus' feet and he pleads with Jesus. So he humbles himself and says, Jesus, you're my only answer. Like, you got to show up or this isn't going to work. You know what Jesus' response was? He goes with her, or goes with him. He says, all right, take me there. I'm all in. And some of you have heard this story before of my ankle when I got healed. I want to share it again. And it's good to keep sharing your stories when Jesus shows up so powerfully in your life, because it's those stories that will impact other people. Even if you're like, oh man, that was like 10 years ago, I got this crazy miracle healing or whatever it was. Like, tell people what Jesus has done, because he will use that to inspire other people in their journey. So for me, this was like, man, my early 20s. So this is over like 15 years ago, dating myself, you can do the math on that one. Someone decided to mess around in a not cool way and push me backwards when I was at the top of like 3 or 4 stairs. And I was like in the air, I'm like, oh, I gotta clear these stairs. So I tried my best and my ankle caught the last stair and it just like, just bent. And I felt, I was like, oh, that was really bad. So I had instant pain in my ankle and my ankle just swelled up. It looked like a mini grapefruit on my ankle. And I was like, man, I'm in a bad spot. And I didn't really have health insurance and everything. So I was like, I'm just gonna like push through this. It's gonna get better. I got an ankle brace. The swelling went down, but it took about a year for my ankle to be able to be like, okay, I can like kind of use it again. Cause I had to stop playing basketball. I had to stop hiking. I had to stop everything. And then I graduated from grad school where I was at. I married in Meredith. We moved to Michigan. And I was working at this college. It was a Christian college, actually, where I met Anthony. And there's this woman there at one of the chapels. She said, hey, if you want to learn about healing prayer, come tonight. And I was like, I'm curious. Like, I don't know too much about it, but I'm going to show up. So me and Meredith, the students show up and we're sitting in this circle. And she's like, all right, ask Jesus who he wants to heal. So we're sitting there in prayer. And I just felt like Jesus spoke to me, said, I want to heal you. And I was like, it's going to be me. I was filled with faith. And so she's like, all right, who's Jesus going to heal? I said, it's me. He's going to heal me. And so she just gets down. She puts her hands on my ankles and she just begins to pray. And as she's praying, that ligament tendon goes from your ankle all the way up through your hip right here into your hip side. That thing started shaking. Like, her hands weren't shaking my leg, but that specific like tendon that goes up was literally shaking. And I thought to myself in my head, this is really weird. And then all of a sudden, after like 7-10 seconds, it just stopped. And I was like, whoa. And I got up, and from that point forward, my ankle was fully healed, 100%. So I could play basketball again, I could beat people at pickleball, you know, I'm not naming anyone here. But I had my body back. But for a year, like, I didn't have my body. It couldn't function the way God had designed it. But I kept seeking him. I was crying to God, God, heal me, heal me, heal my ankle. Like, put me in a place. I want to receive your healing. And then one day, that woman was there. Tell me if you're interested for healing prayer. Could you imagine if I wouldn't have gone that night? But God used her, because I think she believed, too. She had healing gifts. And then she prayed for me, and I got healed. So there was this time about a year or so when I got injured to when he healed me. And so I kind of came to the end of myself. I was like, I can't do anything about this. Like, I don't know. And so I was at the end of myself and Jesus healed me because he was the solution. So let's look at verses 43 through 48. So as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered 12 years with constant bleeding and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. But Jesus said, somebody deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. When the woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell at her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. So this woman too, she had an impossible situation. So even some of the other gospels that said she had spent all her money on doctors. So she had this bank account that was full. Anyone got anything like that? Full bank account? Imagine that bank account going down to zero. And you lose all your investments because you've tried everything you could do in your power. You've gone to all the doctors, all the top people. And you know what they said? Give me your money. Sorry I couldn't help you. Good luck. And sent her out. So she comes to the end of herself. So she has this bleeding that's going on. And did you notice it was 12 years? So this woman had this problem for 12 years that she was trying to solve on her own. And she suffered pretty significantly. Did you notice she did the same thing that Jairus did? She believed that Jesus could do something about her problem. She actually physically went to Jesus. And she activated her faith. What was the point of activation for her faith? Do you know what it was? Do you remember? She said, if I just touch the edge of his robe. So she believed, if I just even touch Jesus's clothes, he's gonna heal me. Like, he's gonna do it. There is no doubt. So she activated her faith by believing, just touching his robe, she'd be healed. So her contact point of faith accessed Jesus's power for her situation. So I'll say it again. Her contact point of faith, which was touching the robe, believing that if I touch his robe, he's going to heal me, accessed Jesus's power for her situation. So her belief, simply touching the edge of his robe, became the contact point of her faith. So imagine the power of God in Jesus coming into your body. Like, God's creative power can touch anything, heal anything, restore anything, reconfigure anything. Nothing is outside of what Jesus can do. Did you notice the timeline of the woman's healing, what took place? It was immediate, like that. But it was a 12-year process for her to get her healing. So I'm not saying your process is going to be 12 years seeking your healing, but I want you to recognize there was a process that this woman went through. My guess is that she was at the end of herself, and she says, Jesus can heal me. And so she has this healing encounter with Jesus. My guess is she came to believe in this guy. She's like, this dude can heal me. I believe who he says he is, right? So it was the woman's relationship with Jesus changed. She went from probably like, Jesus, I just want what you have for me. You can heal me. To, I want to become your follower. I want to become obedient and have a relationship with you. So there comes a watershed moment when healing happens. And there can often be a process associated with it for God's specific purposes. So if you're pressing in for your healing and you're like, it's not happening right away, know that instantly, we read it, Jesus can heal you. So what is Jesus doing in the process inside of you while you're pursuing your healing? So it often has to do with what takes place inside of us for the person then to receive their healing. Because Jesus doesn't just want to heal people and say, hey, move on with your life. I don't want anything to do with you. He says, I want to heal you and I want you to know me. I want this deep relationship. I've had this really cool opportunity. So we know Jesus heals physically. I had a person, I helped facilitate this like conference training, and someone had reached out to me after and said, hey, like, This person basically said, I'm at the end of myself in my marriage. I've done everything that I can do. Will you meet with me? Will you help me? And then when I read the text, I felt like Jesus said, one, you're going to, yes, do this. And two, like, I've assigned you to him in this season to walk him through. So when I met with this person, the first meeting, and they described kind of the context of their marriage, like, if you think, like, 1 to 10, 10 is, like, really bad, like, I might have put this person like a 17. And I was like, Jesus, there's no way I can do anything to help this person in their marriage. Like, it is so far gone. Like, I can't do it. You're going to have to do it, Jesus. And so when I met with the person, I said, hey, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be all obedience based. You're going to ask Jesus what to do, and you're going to need to do what he says, and you'll get his results. But if you do your own thing, you're going to keep getting your results. The person said, I'm willing to do anything, right? Willing to do anything. Jairus, willing to do anything. The woman bleeding, willing to do anything. What Jesus is asking him to do in this situation. And so if you're married, this is a great book, or we want to get married. Great book called Love and Respect by Eggers Rich. So we're going through that. The Healed and Made Whole yellow folder, which some of y'all are familiar with. And then I just ask, what is Jesus asking you to do? To be obedient to him between now and when we meet next time. The person would write down all these things that he was supposed to do with his wife in his marriage. And you know what he kept doing? He kept doing what Jesus told him to do. He didn't do it perfectly, but he kept moving in that direction. After meeting with this person, probably for almost 2 months, this is what they share with me. We haven't had, in their context of marriage, one fight for an entire week. They said, this hasn't happened in 10 years of our marriage. So Jesus can heal anything. He can restore anything if we're willing to do it his way with what he says to do according to the scriptures and how he leads us by his spirit. And it's amazing, like, you know, they were like a 17. But now, like, their marriage is, like, it's becoming healthy and strong, and they're beginning to go from where they were at to envisioning, what does Jesus have for our marriage for the future? Like, it could be filled with joy and peace and health. He has these things for us. So Jesus can restore anything. Let's finish reading here, and we'll begin to come to the close of this. So verses 49 through 56. While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she'll be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in except Peter, John, and James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead, she's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she was dead. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life or her spirit returned to her. She immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted they don't tell anyone what had happened. Oh man, this woman gets healed of 12 years of bleeding. She falls down before Jesus. She's telling everyone what happened. And then someone comes up and says, "Hey, Jairus, your daughter died. Let it all go. There's nothing else you could do." Could you imagine being Jairus? Like, this woman's getting healed, and you're like, "That's awesome. Hurry up. I got a big problem too. Like, Jesus, get to my house. Come heal my daughter." Could you imagine what was going through Jairus's mind? Your daughter is dead. Like, that voice just screaming at you, "Your daughter is dead." Like, give up, walk away, blame God. Like, the discouragement and the disappointment that must be going on inside of Jairus. So I think there was a war going on inside of him of, like, walk away. There's nothing more that can be done. When we went camping last weekend, there was a garage sale by one of the park we were at. We took all the kids. It was me, Ethan, Anthony, Richie. Went over there, took the kids out, whatever, did their DBS. And, man, when bougie people want to get rid of their stuff for cheap, I'm like, I'll buy it. So I got, like, these Oakley hard glass cases for $1 each. I'm like, these things run, like, 30 bucks. Like, I gave one to Anthony. I was like, I can use one. So I had asked the guys all this, like, biking gear, like, road bike. And so I said, hey, like, what got you into road biking? What do you enjoy about it? And he just talked about it. He's like, "Well, I got injured, and so he hasn't been doing it." I said, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, I had this heart injury." So, you know, where I'm going, I'm like, "Well, hey, we're a church, you're camping and stuff," and told him Laura's story and everything. And I was like, "Oh, I even have her sharing it." And I pulled up to share him, and the guy and the woman are hardcore knowed me. They basically said, "I don't want anything to do with your Jesus." And I was like, "Just so you know, Jesus, he loves you, and he could heal you." And they just basically told me to leave. And I was like, man, right? So Jesus is there saying, "I can heal you." And this other voice says, "Have nothing to do with this, Jesus. He can't do anything." And he listened to the voice of discouragement, disappointment. "I don't want anything to do with this God that you're talking about." That's what's going on inside of Jairus. But then Jesus speaks. Did you notice that Jesus spoke in the midst of all that crazy discouragement and disappointment going on? And you know, in the movies, right? We got a movie theater guy over here getting ready to graduate and go in the industry, right? And when you watch the films, it's like everything around them zones out and they're just focusing on that one thing. But Jairus, he could hear Jesus' voice speaking into that scene. "Jairus, Jairus," what does he say? "Don't be afraid, just have faith and she'll be healed." So Jesus didn't remain silent, he spoke. So Jesus will speak into your situations between now and your healing, or between now and your breakthrough. He will speak. You have to tune yourself to his voice. And did you notice that Jairus had a choice? He could have said, "Jesus, I'm done." But he said, "Jesus, I'm in." So he chose to believe what Jesus said. Jesus gave specific guidance, right? "Don't be afraid, have faith, she'll be healed." So Jairus had to be obedient to what Jesus said to do for him to receive Jesus's results in his life. So they show up, and Jesus takes his three disciples he's investing in the most, the leaders that he's raising up, and the parents. He's like, "We're gonna go in and we're gonna heal her." Did you notice that everybody else's responses there? They were like wailing and weeping because she's dead. And Jesus said, hey, she's just sleeping. Their response was they laughed at him. They scoffed, right? So they had unbelief. So I ask you this question. Is it easier to raise a dead person or wake a sleeping person? What he's doing is he's trying to shift perspective. He's trying to create belief and understanding and get them to have a perspective of belief. But they chose to remain in unbelief. And did you know how Jesus, how he raised the girl up? You remember what he did with Peter's mom? We studied that one. He just touched her. And then the woman who was bleeding, she touched him. And Jesus goes up and he takes the girl's hand and he gives a simple command. He says, my child, get up. And what happens instantly? The girl gets up. It says her spirit returned to her, which gives you insight how Jesus raises the dead. Their spirit actually comes back into their body with their soul. So her spirit had to come back for her to be raised from the dead. So Jesus, he's a rule breaker. Did you notice? A religious rule breaker. He doesn't like religion. First, Jews don't have anything to do with blood. Like blood of an animal that they touch, or like blood, their own blood, the blood of other people, they get unclean and they have all these rituals and stuff. Jesus broke religious rules when this woman who was bleeding touched her. Also, Jews don't touch dead bodies. You're unclean for a period of time. So Jesus broke religious rules to bring people their solution. So Jesus will break religious rules. So when you're in situations where Jesus is going to ask you to pray for someone, man, don't listen to protocol religion. Just do what he says to do. I mean, some people are going to laugh at you, right? They're going to scoff at you and tell you whatever. Like the people who Jesus said, she's only sleeping. But the people that are going to be grateful are going to be people who you raise from the dead, right? Or heal. And the parents that get their kid back, right? So it's going to be the people that receive God's blessing that will be grateful that you broke religious rules. And did you know that Jesus, this is interesting. He says, give the girl some food. Right, so if she's been dead for a period of time, it means her body's already starting to decay. I think he says give her some food because it's the natural thing to do. Eat food to restore your body. So Jesus knows not how to raise someone from the dead by prayer, but he also knows how to restore them to wholeness, to fullness. So here's some things I want you guys to take away. Persistence in healing is often required. So you often have to persist in pursuing the healing that Jesus has for you. Because if you think about the woman, right, who was bleeding for 12 years, if she saw that crowd that was surrounding Jesus and she's like, oh man, I can't get my way into this crowd, and she walked away, she probably had to push through all those people to get to Jesus. She had to persist for her healing. Jairus had to persist through disappointment and discouragement. Hey, your daughter's dead. Jesus says, no, she's not. Let's go finish it out. So persistence in healing is required. Don't give up. Jesus has your solution. So there will be a point that often happens where you'll be tempted to give up, to quit, or walk away. Because that stuff will hit your life and it says it's not worth it. So you have to ask the question, what if Jairus gave up? His daughter would still be in the grave in that scene. Or what if the woman walked away? She would have died eventually from her disease that she had in her body. So faith or believing is a key to healing. Your faith or somebody else's faith? Because you notice it was Jairus' faith that got his daughter raised, and it was the woman's faith that got her healed. When I did this is years ago, but when I did a 7-day fast for the gift of miracles prompted by God's Spirit, I thought, I'm going to be supercharged in faith. It's going to be awesome. But for 7 days, what actually happened is God convicted me the depth of my unbelief. And I was like, man, I didn't know I had so much unbelief in me. But when God cleaned out that unbelief, I began to see miracles and healings in significant ways. So if you're like, man, Jesus, I do believe. Ask Jesus, hey, is there anything blocking me from receiving my healing? Like, is there any unbelief? Like, what do you need to do in me so I can receive what you have for me? And so there's ways that you can build your faith and not dilute it. So things that build it, which we talk about a lot, developing a fasting rhythm is huge. That really strengthens your faith. And strips away unbelief. Maintaining a prayer life with Jesus, not just like as you go prayer, but being in his presence, learning to be still and to wait on him and just be before him. Like literally, like just be on your knees before him. And if you're like, man, I can't get on my knees, just sit in a chair. what is a way that you could just go be in his presence? Because when you're in his presence is when he's going to do the most work inside of you, because he has your attention and he can, you'll hear his voice more clearly. Worship is huge too. Throw on some worship music and use your voice to worship Jesus, to praise him. You'll be filled with his spirit. Get in the word. The word, man, if you just read the scriptures about healing, you'll receive everything you need for healing for yourself or for other people. Because that's where God will teach you how he heals. Study or read or listen to stories. Like listening to testimonies of other people's healings super boosts faith. God, you can do it for them. You can do it for me. Also, practice. Practice praying for healing of other people. You can also pray over yourself for healing. And it's all by the Holy Spirit. It's all by grace. We don't earn any of this because Jesus already accomplished it, all of it on the cross. We simply align ourselves with what he's done. So we have to ask the question, okay, if that builds faith, what dilutes faith? So basically, anything that's of the world is going to dilute your faith. One of the main things is, man, these screens. These screens capture people's attention, the doom scroll, all that stuff. Like when you let that stuff just wash through you, it's washing away faith and it's actually building unbelief. So I would say be aware of the things in your life that are going to dilute faith and cut those out of your life and never let them back in. Always seek to build a river of faith by his grace in your life. And so as we transition from the message, we'll pray for people too at the end for healing. So you have Jesus living in you. If you believe who he says he is, that he's the Son of God, he came to this earth, he lived without sin, he died on the cross for your sins, anybody who believes in him, dead for 3 days, rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, that Jesus is God, and he's the solution for our sin and all humanity's issues. So if you do, you have Jesus living in you by the Holy Spirit. And that means that you can pray for people in the name of Jesus, and Jesus will heal people. So you have the ability to pray for people and see Jesus heal. So when I pray for people, this is what I do. I pray very specific prayers. I command it in the name of Jesus because that was what he did. He didn't have to say in Jesus' name because he's Jesus, so he just commanded it to be done, right? And then I get out of the way. I step back and I let Jesus do his thing. I've seen a lot of people healed, and I've seen a lot of people not healed. So I don't choose who gets healed. Jesus, and you can see faith was a huge component. It's really between like the person, Jesus, and even my belief in there as well. So there's not really a formula. It's a relationship with Jesus. And the goal is like, man, if people don't get healed, but they feel like, man, I feel really loved by you or loved by God and encouraged, like that's the win. And then coach them towards receiving their healing, which basically this is a coaching message towards your healing or the healing of somebody else. And I'll say this too. Jairus came on behalf of his daughter. You can pray on behalf of somebody else and pray for them in person for their healing, and Jesus can use you, their healing. So I want us as a church, like where healing just becomes normal, or praying for healing becomes normal. Because when you read Jesus' life, this was a huge part of his ministry. He wanted to heal their bodies. He wanted to heal relationships. Like he restored the whole person, like the marriages, like everything, right? Their finances. So Jesus' healing is actually the whole person. So how many of y'all are ready to start ministering in Jesus' name, healing to other people? How many of y'all are like, I need some of Jesus' healing in my life, right? Yeah, it's a mix of everyone, okay? So the idea is like, you carry the healing of Jesus. So, for example, like, at this point, I haven't tested again since Laura and Josh prayed for me. And it wasn't an intentional test last time. It was, I got gluten. I still have this gluten allergy, which can, like, be pretty significant when I eat gluten. And yet, I've seen all these people healed, right? So, it's like, sometimes there's a mystery. I don't know. And I don't decide if I get healed or not. I just pray and ask Jesus to heal me, and I believe he's going to do. And I just keep moving forward, praying for other people, and Jesus would heal them. So, you carry his power to heal, praying in his name, and you also participate in your own healing process, and at times you have to contend for your healing. Don't give up. So I want you to do this. Write down two things. How will you obey the passage this week? So how will you obey? How is God speaking to you through the scriptures or through your conversations in the DBS or through this message? how is God speaking to you? How will you obey Jesus this week? And then who's one person that you can share with what you learned to encourage them about Jesus or something that God has spoken to you? So go ahead and write those two things down. How will you obey Jesus this week, and who will you share with? And then after you write those down, share those with the person next to you. And then we'll wrap up in prayer. And anybody that wants prayer for healing, we will do that again this week as well. So Jesus, we're so grateful for your word, and that there's people like Jairus and this woman who went after you and didn't give up, and you healed them. And I just imagine how much their relationship with you is transformed going through that process. So Jesus, I pray that you would build your faith in us individually and as a church, to see you do healing and miracles as a normal part of our rhythm as a church and as families and individuals as we go, that we'd see you heal people and restore their lives and make them whole in every area, and that they would come like Jairus and the woman and literally get on their knees and bow at your feet. And so that they would come in that relationship with you through surrender and through salvation. So Jesus, I pray that you would activate gifts of healing amongst your people, and that you would release faith to be able to see those released. And so we pray, Jesus, that today, as we break into groups and pray, that you would heal your people, restore them, and make them whole. So Jesus, I want to pray over everyone's weeks too as we get ready to head out. Thank you, Jesus, that you are going ahead of us. Thank you that you are already there. And thank you that you're preparing the people this week who you want to love on, encourage, and impact through our lives. So I pray that you send us out as encouragers to speak in the lives of people, or to pray with them, or to share what you've done in our lives, or share from the scriptures what we learned today. And Jesus, I pray that you would give everybody wisdom in their respective jobs, whether it's like in a classroom or in an office or in the field somewhere, or as a parent, being a stay-at-home mom or dad taking care. You would give parents and everybody here wisdom in their respective roles to live with your kingdom and in your will in these areas. So thank you, Jesus, that we're all in your blood, that we have your protection. And I ask you to assign your angels to everybody here for your kingdom and gospel purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.